भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय छन्दं स्याकं अस्य च यस्य कामान् दुदुहुर् आजहुर् अथो बलिं नृपा प्रत्यञ्चिता युधि धर्मेण विप्रा यदाशिषं षष्ठम् अंशं परेत्या छन्दंस्य कामस्य च यस्य कामान् दुदुः राजाहुरथो बलिं नृपा प्रत्यञ्चिता युधि धर्मेण विप्रा यदाशिषं षष्ठमम् अंशं परेत्या छन्दंस्य कामस्य च यस्य कामान् दुः राजहृरथो बलिं नृपा प्रत्यञ्चिता युधि धर्मेण विप्रा यदाशिषं षष्ठमं संभरेत्या Chandamsi, all the different parts of the Vedas. Akamasya, of one who has no desire for personal sense gratification. Cha, also. Yasya, whose. Kaman, all desirables. Duduhu, yielded. Ajahru, offered. Ato, Thus, Balin,
presentation.
Nripaha,
all the kings.
Pratyanchitaha, being satisfied by his fighting in opposition. Yudhi,
in the war.
Dharamena,
by religious principles.
Vipraha,
all the brahmanas.
Yada,
when.
Ashisham,
of blessings.
Shashtam,
Amsham,
one-sixth.
Paretya,
in the next life.
Translation.
Although King Gaya had no personal desire for sense gratification, all his desires were fulfilled by virtue of his performance of Vedic rituals. All the kings with whom Maharaj Gaya had to fight were forced to fight on religious principles. They were very satisfied with his fighting, and they would present all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, all the brahmanas in his kingdom were very satisfied with King Gaya's munificent charities. Consequently, the brahmanas distributed a sixth of their pious activities for King Gaya's benefit in the next life. Purport. As a kshatriya or emperor, Maharaj Gaya sometimes had to fight with subordinate kings to maintain his government. But the subordinate kings were not dissatisfied with him because they knew that he fought for religious principles. Consequently, they accepted their subordination and offered all kinds of gifts to him. Similarly, the brahmanas who performed Vedic rituals were so satisfied with the king that they very readily agreed to part with a sixth of their pious activities for his benefit in the next life. Thus, the brahmanas and kshatriyas were all satisfied with Maharaj Gaya because of his proper administration. In other words, Maharaj Gaya satisfied the kshatriya kings by his fighting and satisfied the brahmanas by his charities. The Vaishyas were also encouraged by kind words and affectionate dealings. And due to Maharaj Gaya's constant sacrifices, the Shudras were satisfied by sumptuous food and charity. In this way, Maharaj Gaya kept all the citizens very satisfied. When brahmanas and saintly persons are honored, they part with their pious activities, giving them to those who honor them and render them service. Therefore, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. One should try to approach a bona fide spiritual master submissively and render service unto him. Since we're going down now through the descendants of Priyavrata, so we had Bharat Maharaj, and now continuing, now we come to Maharaj Gaya. So we see that these personalities are all very great, very pious. They're able to perform their duties very nicely, that everyone becomes satisfied. So we see the administrative element, that's the, you could say, the social duty. But you see in personal dealings, personal life, then there's another aspect that's there, how he would deal. He would deal on religious principles. He'd give in charity, he'd perform sacrifices, he'd be encouraging. So because of this, everybody was submissive. Everybody was comfortable. Everybody was satisfied. See, this idea that because one's in a position, automatically everyone has to follow, that's for those who are weak. That's for those who are untrained. That's for those actually who don't have a life. Because we see as Gaya Maharaj had a life. He was a perfect person. And because of this, he can encourage everybody. And he's able to do that in the sphere of the Kshatriya aspect. He could administrate and therefore run an empire. But what he was running was his ability to deal and work with everybody as people. Right? We have to understand what within Varnashram, which is the prominent. We always try to make the Varna the prominent, but it's actually the ashram that's the prominent. Otherwise, why did Prabhupada establish that first? right? Of all the things to do in Krishna consciousness, association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna is your most important. Hearing Bhagavatam, he established these things first. Right? So therefore, within ashram, he established brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Right? Because this is the most important. Then within varna, he established brahminical. So that's just leaving kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. Minor points in the Vedic consideration. Extremely major in the modern consideration. Minor in the Vedic. It's big skill, but its position is secondary. So this is where we start to miss the whole thing. That's why Bhagavatam specially points out that these kings are special because their great manager, their skill is very exceptional. But more exceptional than their skill is their personality, their ability to inspire others. That's what's so important. And that's what in the so-called modern contemporary concept where everything's supposed to be so quote-unquote personal and everything like that, the people are, leadership is scared to death of people, of personalities. Gaya Maharaj is a personality. Bharat Maharaj was a personality. All these great persons, Yudhishthira Maharaj was a personality. And it's exactly what the modern culture wants to avoid, at least in administration. Because one is then you have to deal with people who are powerful. And two, if you're a person, then everybody can deal with you as a person. Right? But if you can hide behind some impersonal structure, then you don't have to worry about all these things. You just do whatever you like. You don't have to worry like these great personalities by being a person and dealing with people. You simply have to establish authority. And so, then it makes it easy. No, you can't find who's to blame, but you know who's in charge because they tell you so. But it's in factual inspiration. That then it's somebody else's business. But we see here it's not someone else's business. It's Maharaj Gaya's business. And he makes it his business. And because of that, the brahmanas are parting with the sixth of their pious activity. Now, Manu says that a brahman doesn't have to do this unless the king is taking care. So that means his charity was so great that the brahmins were completely maintained by his charity. And because of this, then they happily parted with 1/6. That's the rule. The other kings, they were happy to give their taxes and everything because they understood that the king was ruling on religious principles. It's not forced. It means if they're behaving badly, he comes in and establishes authority. But he did so through religious principles, through the Vedic. Therefore, they could understand, yes, he's doing it properly. In other words, the means and the ends have to be the same. This modern concept that I can do whatever I want as long as the end's good, that's basically low class. Popular, but doesn't mean it's... Popular means low class. We have to understand that. So, it doesn't work. These kings, they know administration. They're willing to give whatever as long as they know that what's going on is actually works. It's for the benefit. And because of this, then it becomes very nice. Right? And then the others, Shudras, are taken care of. So much is being done, so many festivals, so much prasad. Right, Vaishyas are encouraged. Right, there's a peaceful environment that they can prosper. So this he's doing as a person, and he as a person happens to be in a very powerful position as the emperor. But it's him as a person. So this is the element is that we're approaching people. The process is personal. We come in contact with devotees who are people. They're practicing Krishna consciousness. They tell us about it. We hear it. We get faith. We are able to move forward. That's the whole point. So the practicing, the devotees, because they practice Krishna consciousness, coming in parampara, therefore who they contact is able to get this same benefit. So this is, yeah, this is the important point. It's not how you organize it. It's how you as a person deal within the organizational structure. Right? It's not the structure. It's how you deal with the structure. Just like one could say, no, but it's important. Yes, it's important, but someone who's expert, it's not important. This is the fun part. Just like this, I'll give an example. You have a kitchen. Now, let's say I have a first-class kitchen, right? There's 3 Michelin stars hanging outside the door. Now, does that mean I can bring anybody into this kitchen and now they'll be suddenly an expert cook? It has nothing to do with the kitchen. You're either a cook or you're not a cook. Whatever the structure is, it doesn't matter. You will cook just as bad in the first class kitchen as in a second class kitchen if you don't know how to cook. Okay, things may not stick as much in the pan while you're off and completely forgot about what you're cooking. But it doesn't mean it won't burn. It just won't stick. That's the difference. That's the difference between a first class pan and not a first class pan. The first class pan, it won't stick, it'll burn. But the second class, it'll burn and stick. That's the only difference. So we have to get over this thing that it's all about the structure. It's all about who, as a person, how you deal. Then people make the structure. Maharaj Gaya, he fought according to the principles. Therefore, the other kings were forced to also recognize and follow those principles. The point is if you follow them, others will follow. You're not following, no one will follow. A structure will not make anybody follow anything. It's dead matter. How is it going to do anything? So the point is it's people that make the parampara. Right? People make the parampara. This comes down through people. It's handed down through people. People write commentaries. People read it. People study it. People practice it. People preach it to others. And therefore, people are inspired and take it up. Any questions or comments on this? Yes.
So it sounds like what you're saying, if I'm honest, everybody else will be honest.
Sorry?
It sounds that you're saying that if I'm honest, everybody else will be honest.
It's whatever quality you want to start with, whatever leadership does, everyone else will follow. That's what it is. Honesty is, in the modern sense, is overrated, because honesty means I want to hear what facts I want to hear about. It's not about honesty means what's in connection with Krishna. That means honesty is considered to be truth, but truth is Krishna. Modern honesty means facts. Facts aren't necessarily Krishna. So we have to be very, very careful to make the distinction between truth seekers and fact seekers. So real honesty is, I'm the servant of Krishna, I'm the soul, I'm not this body, right? And so therefore, I have to function in the Lord's creation according to His direction. Facts is whatever of value I take it, so those areas of my conditioning, I want to have information in those areas. So if someone will give that to me in the way that I want to receive it, that's called honest. And if they don't do it in that way, then they're dishonest. So, yeah. So then the difficulty comes down is that it's not just honesty, it's a matter of whatever the quality is. Here we see that pride is brought out a lot. That the king was not proud, even though he was emperor of the world, so qualified, he wasn't proud. Or even though he had the facility for all sense enjoyment, he wasn't doing it for sense enjoyment. You know, he was acting on religious principles, therefore the other kings followed. So basically it's any quality you take. You know, if honesty is important, then yes, if one's honest, others will be honest. If one's how you say, committed to pure devotional service, others will follow that. If you're committed to Prabhupada, others will follow that. Whatever is the good quality that you see that the acharyas bring out that is important in devotional service, if you have that, then others will follow it. So yes, it's true. Yes.
You were mentioning at the very end a very nice thing about the personal nature of the parampara system. It comes down from person to another person.
Yes.
And we see this. For example, Srila Prabhupada built the Hare Krishna movement one relationship at a time. You know, first this person, and that person, and that person,
yes.
So the question I had when I heard you making that explanation is, I often wonder, and I would like to hear your comment on this, about such things as internet preaching. I always wonder, does the machine get in the way? You know, in other words, when you're trying to preach to somebody on the internet or talk to somebody on the internet, it becomes just one more factoid you can delete or something like that. Anyway, I want to know, does the machine get in the way? Can you be personal in this way, or is it an impossibility?
Oh, okay. See, the means you have to look at, there's two things that you have to balance. One is that you're dealing with the written word. So in other words, your ability to communicate is going to be an essential point. How well you can express yourself through the words. In other words, if you, whatever language you're using, you have your words, you have your punctuation, you have how you structure it, those things. So the better you are at that, either by you've learned it or you're just natural at it. That's the one thing. But the difficulty is that's balanced against a system that is so immediate. So you have to balance that. You actually have to take the time that what you wrote, you actually look at it. You know, it's just like, let us say we go back, you know, how you say, those of us who are, you know, around when the dinosaurs, you know, still roamed the earth and internet hadn't come into play yet, you know, before the meteor hit, right? You know, so people wrote letters. And you didn't just sit down and scribble off a letter and put it in an envelope and, you know, throw it out the door. You wrote it, and then you went back and you looked at it again, and you might rewrite it, redo the thing, until you got something that was actually a nice, composition. So in other words, the art form was much more appreciated. The importance of how a word is used, you know, in the sentence and everything like this, the punctuation, these were much more valued. Then someone would write, and then by sending that, because someone would send a letter, it takes time to get there, you'd get it, you'd read it, you'd have to work in time because you would have to sit down and write it. Right, the computer, you can just sit down and just do something quick and it's gone. But this, you actually have to work in time. So you'd have to plan it, so it would have, there'd be much more of that element of goodness that's there. So if that, so in this way, the quality of letters, like you see, is that it's not an uncommon thing that people come out with books based on someone's letters. You know, letters of this person to that person, or, you know, so many, it's not an uncommon element. Sometimes going back, you know, 50 years, 100 years, 150 years, that the letters that were there, the quality of the language was so wonderful that it's, people find it's worth collecting and sharing. Right? So now, if you can follow that, then, you know, through the internet, it can work. Because it's just a quicker means of something getting there. But the weakness, as we said, is Because emotion is there, you can write in that state of emotion and then send something, and then without thinking about it, it may not come out so well. Because what words you use, it's not necessarily the person who will read it the way you wrote them, unless you wrote it so that they could only read it that way. So there are, I've heard of those who are quite successful at internet preaching, and they seem to take the time and everything and do, and people respond and it works nice. So it's just a matter of if you actually understand communication and use it, and you're focusing on that rather than, like I said before, the structure. So in other words, if you focus on the personal, then the internet as a structure can work. Just like we said, administration, if that personal is there, administration will work. Always you have a primary and a secondary. And the secondary is not that it's less important or not important at all. It's the medium that you're expressing through. So it becomes a value, as we're saying here in the verse. The administration becomes important because it's through which you structure so many people can be involved in Krishna consciousness. So it becomes very important, but it's not as important as the personal dealings in which the teachings of the parampara are coming down and going from person to person. It's just how to structure it on a great level. That's why it's a movement. Movement means it's something big. And so when you organize it, then you have an institution. So acharyas always organize institutions so that the mission could go on in a big way. So that it's standard, it's natural. But one has to see that it's the people who are important, and the institution supports that. You know, like that. So yes, like that. Something else? Yes. Here, speak in this thing.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned about the king and how he created submissiveness.
Sorry,
I missed those qualities. Would you
mind? It's like what Gyanagami was pointing out. If he's submissive, he'll generate it. Because he's submissive to the Brahmins, naturally then the kings are subordinate to him. And because he's submissive to his duties and he performs his duties as a leader, he takes care of everybody as a leader, therefore everybody surrenders to him. So in other words, a quality that you want to see in others, it will manifest in others if you have it yourself. Like that. So that's what I'm saying. Any quality that is there, you take it, and if leadership uses that sincerely, not as some trick, you know, not out of, you know, some book, some trick. We're talking about they really have that mood, you know, of sense submission or of honesty or of, you know, seriousness in their Krishna consciousness. Whatever it is, that will then be passed down. So that's what we see is Prabhupada could move in any circle because he had all those qualities, and whoever he dealt with, he would deal with them so they could appreciate it. And therefore, as Prabhu said, one person at a time, he added to the movement. But then each of those one persons then met so many one persons, and in this way the whole thing grew. So qualities are actually the main principle. Then the activities you do to manifest those qualities, those are supportive. Right? That's where the difference comes in, is that sometimes as an international society, the cultural ways you would manifest the quality will be different. You know, just like, let's say, in England, you have so many, let's say, skills, you don't talk about them. That's how you're humble, right? In America, you talk about them because you're worried about efficiency, so you want others to know that you have them. But at the same time, as you try to do it in a way that you don't sound, it's self-centered. So these are very major differences. So, but the principle is if you have the quality and the character, it will have effect. The delivery is then where you'll see the uniqueness in every part of the world and every individual. So that's where you require the elements of broad-mindedness and the culture and etiquette so that one can accommodate the variety of cultural expression. Does that work? Yes. So, yes.
Hare Krishna. It was mentioned that the other kings would cooperate with the king because they saw his good qualities.
A little louder.
It was mentioned that the other kings would cooperate with the king
yes.
because of his good qualities.
Yes.
But on the flip side, when we normally associate with others, we look for faults. And so
we look for faults.
Faults, yeah. So
that's just lack of training, lack of piety. See, the more pious you are, generally you tend to see good qualities. The more impious, you tend to see bad qualities. So in general, in the material world, we see bad qualities because it's by impiety that we're here. Right? Piety is being Krishna conscious. Impiety means not being Krishna conscious. So if we're able to see good qualities, then that's piety. If we're not, then that's impiety. But because both piety and impiety are... These are not where we're not looking, how you say, on the material platform, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for Krishna consciousness. So by Krishna conscious, even someone who doesn't have the material piety to naturally just find good qualities in others can develop it because of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is more powerful than piety or the lack of it. Does that make sense? So that's why devotional services functions on a different platform, in that if someone is committed to Krishna consciousness, no matter what the character is, if they stick to it and stick in the association of devotees, they will be purified and will be elevated and will become qualified. But if we're dependent upon material qualifications to move forward, then it will be rare to find someone who has that kind of piety. Right? Prabhupada mentioned the Queen of England is the most pious woman on the planet at his time. She wasn't paying taxes then. Right? Once you start paying taxes, your piety kind of drops, you know. So like that. So here now he noted her as pious. So how many of us are, you know, Queen of England? You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that in Kali Yuga, we don't really have that kind of qualification. Our qualification comes from chanting. So the real point is how to organize it so that everybody sticks nicely to the principles of devotional service, right? That they're focused on pure devotional service. If they have that, then they'll develop all the qualities we want. Right? All the qualities that we value, those will develop by Krishna consciousness. But without Krishna consciousness, they won't, because they're only left over from previous activities are pious. Because in this life, we're not known for piety. Right? Even if someone's pious, they want everybody to know they're pious. You know? So that, according to Mana, you already lose potency. When you've done charity and you brag about it, you've done piety and you brag about it, you lose the effect. So people are willing to do it because it's good PR. So who's getting the pious results? You know what I'm saying? Like that. This guy's giving, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions, and you see the pictures and the big checks and all that. But there's people that are giving billions. Have you ever seen a picture of them with a check? No, why not? Because they don't do that stuff. That's why they got billions. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is piety is cultivated by piety, right? You get money because you have money. You invest money, you get money. You have piety, you get piety. We don't have piety, how do we get it? It's only by chanting and associating with devotees. Then we get the qualities that people are looking for. Then we're able to, you know, function nicely. So devotional service will generate the qualities needed for devotional service. There is no mundane method for gaining it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Something else? Yeah. Yes. Back.
Hare Krishna. But someone could argue.
Yes.
That so many devotees have practiced Krishna consciousness for so many years. We don't see qualities that we see in pious or even impious people. It appears that they have qualities that would be helpful for us, but we don't have them. So then devotees will question.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Why not?
There's a few things here. One is the person questioning actually qualified to make a judgment call? Because nowadays, if somebody complains, somehow or another, if you can complain, you're qualified. You know, like that. But somehow or another, in upper circles, because you can complain doesn't make you qualified. Anybody can complain. That's why we're here in the material world, is because we're good at complaining. So now the point is like Prabhupada would point out, first you do what they do, then you can criticize. You know, like let's say somebody criticized the temple president, Prabhupada would make the point, you're not doing what he's doing. You haven't done what they've done, so how can you criticize? It's easy to find fault, right? Hindsight's 20/20. Everybody can tell, you know, what, you know, the president should have done this and he should have done that and all. Yeah, because it's hindsight's 20/20. It's easy. But the point is those who have done, if they make a comment, then that was something to value. So Prabhupada's trying to show is this, but nowadays it's kind of this democratic, everybody's equal, but since when is everybody equal? Right? On what platform are we talking equal? Everybody's the same height? We all wear the same clothes? Like, China had it down. They had size 36 and size 42. And everybody fit into that, men and women. They all wore exactly the same thing. Now that's something you could say, now we're talking equal here. Right? Of course, the guys in 42 are a little bit out oversized, but at least it looks the same. You know, like that. So what does it mean equal? So that would be one of the points. The other point is the approach is when you say is that qualities that people have, that we're talking about the materialists, the karmis, what social circles are we looking in that have those qualities? From my experience is those who are in the upper realms and those in the lower. The middle class is always the one that has the problem. Right? Because, see, if you're in the wealthy area, then even if everything's going down, people who are wealthy still make money, no matter what happens. They have a particular piety, and they have a piety to maintain. So you have to function on those levels with a certain amount of qualification. You can't behave badly in those circles and survive because everybody else is powerful. You mess with them, they will get you back. Then you have the poor, and then they're going to stay in that position no matter what. And so therefore they don't have stuff. So the only thing to control them is the people around them. They have to have more personal relationships. It may be rough. It may be unsophisticated, but it has to be personal. You have to be real. So you have to follow the rules on the top, and you have to follow them on the bottom. It's the ones in the middle that have the what do you call it? Expendable, what do you call it? So expendable income or, you know, like that. So whenever there's peace, then you get the middle class. Otherwise, if there's no peace, there's no middle class. Peace is a phenomena that any time war stops, the middle class starts to emerge. We deal with it. It's an eternal principle that's always there. It's the one that comes up and then goes down. It comes up and goes down. So because it's the newest, then they're wrestling with all these things, trying to put together all their character and qualities and everything that they think would be great. But because it's speculative, it generally has never worked. The middle class has never led the world, has never established something that the world can follow and get benefit from. But it's not that they're not an important group, but my point being is why is it we're not, you know, after 40 years leading the society? Because we're taking middle class values rather than taking Vedic values, which are across the board, they're just culture. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, they're applicable everywhere. Or at least take those who are successful in the world. I don't mean success book, I mean successful. And they would be very careful. They wouldn't do things the way we would do them. So that's the problem, is that whatever you cultivate is what you become good at. So we've been cultivating, what is it, in the mid-90s, political correctness came up. But the people who are successful use it as a tool, not as a lifestyle. If you take political correctness as a lifestyle, you will fail. It's not a lifestyle. It's like saying, well, I take a kitchen knife as a pair of pants. It won't work. It has a specific thing. It's called spin doctoring. Now even they call it spinning. They don't even call it the doctoring. It's too long to say, right? Or even you just spin it, right? You know, so the whole thing is you have to know the difference between skill and lifestyle. And if you can't tell the difference, you will fail. So if you're wondering why devotees don't have these qualities, because they don't know what to look for. People who come to the movement are willing to take it up. They're willing to be guided. But if leadership says, no, these good qualities from the Vedic aren't good, and we have to use the middle class kind of stuff from the West that doesn't work, then what do you want? You know, and this is, we're talking facts here. You know, yes.
Also, in answer to that question, as long as you see materially, it will always be with motivation.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't have a good quality because I don't like that.
Yes.
So, to the degree that you have spiritual, to the proportion that you're spiritually advanced, then you can begin to see good qualities even in your detractors.
Yes. Yes.
So, I would put it down to materialistic vision, and as you get advanced, spiritual vision.
Yes. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah, because point is it's like, as pointed out, like Haridas Thakur doesn't see faults in his detractors. And because of that, they get benefited. I think Lord Chaitanya mentions that. I think Lord Chaitanya mentions either that or it's a... No, I think it's a Puranic point. When you criticize another person, you get a bad reaction. When you are tolerant and don't criticize, even though there might be a situation where you might, you don't, then you get benefited, right? If you criticize, you you lose good credits. If you don't, you get credit. And if you find the quality in the other person, or at least you forgive them and like that, and see the good qualities, then not only you get the benefit, but the other person gets the benefit. So that's considered the best. Right? So that's, yeah. We have to be very... See, is that when you work on tradition, then there are many things there that we may understand. That's why tradition is recommended. But the thing about tradition, it should not be just ritual or dogma. It should be you try to understand why. Because otherwise, why would great personalities who are liberated or who have all mystic cities or are emperors of the world or, you know, as physically powerful as Bhima, or why would they follow certain things? You know, all the qualities we're looking for, these people who have them, they follow a certain lifestyle, a certain pattern. Why would they do that? There must be some benefit. So then we should try to find out why they're doing it rather than always attacking it and saying it's not useful. Find out why. Then once we know why, then we'll be able to apply it to time, place, and circumstance, because it sounds different than what we're used to in time, place, and circumstance to say it doesn't apply. That's not actual real logic. Logic is okay, this is the principle that these great personalities are trying to affect. And in this situation, they applied it this way. So now in the situation I'm in, how do I apply that self-same principle that it works in the present? So it's not a matter of that the speculation is what gives the success. It's that it brings up options. But you have to choose an option that's actually getting the result that the principle denotes, then that's called time place. That's the Vedic method. Is you have to be able to practically apply it in time, place, and circumstance, but it has to still be based on the principle. That's why I'm saying if we take simply the middle class value system, then it's not going to work. Because it's not actually a successful system. It maintains, but the people who are successful make money off of the middle class. They control them. You know, because why? They're having to use the qualities of tolerance and patience and this and that. They may be using it in the mode of passion, that they're using the qualities of goodness for their own personal benefit, but they're still using the qualities of goodness. You can't neglect the qualities of goodness and think that you'll get anything done in the material world. You can't. And mechanically, it won't work. You know, it's like saying, I'll run a machine without electricity just because I want to. I feel like it. Because feelings are a good place to start from, but feelings aren't the mechanics. You have to apply the mechanics. Because I feel hungry, therefore I apply the mechanics of cooking and get something to eat. But just because I was hungry and I wanted it, and you know, I knew I needed it, I knew I could do it, that's not enough to produce a good meal. Right? It gets the bile moving and it works, you know, if you get a crowd together, it sounds great. But factually, if you don't know how to cook, it doesn't work. That's the point where this middle class system breaks down. Because it's not designed to think. They'll think, but their thinking is generally skepticism. You know, or idyllic that doesn't have a connection. So the point is that's why you have to rely upon what has worked, see that, apply that, then no matter who it is and what strata, it will work. But to just come up with, oh, because I feel like it, and that's enough? You know? The man walked by the store and saw the, you know, solid gold, diamond encrusted, you know, Cartier watch. He wanted it. Is that enough? He has to go into the shop and put down the cash. So the same way is there's nothing in this world that you get for free. You don't have the skill, you don't have the qualifications, you don't get it. It doesn't matter how much you want it. So that's the thing. We're not trying to say that sentiment's not important. It is as a drive, but it can't be the means. You have to have skill like that. And that skill comes for us from associating with devotees, right? Taking it seriously. Otherwise, how are we going to get it? Right? We have 2 minutes and we'll stop. Yes. Okay, how to read about these great personalities and not feel bad, okay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, or is it good to feel bad? See, the key is being given. That's why we keep focusing on this primary point. It's because of his commitment to devotional service. That's why all these things are there. So now it's just a matter of time. Because you're working on time in the material world. It's big time. So The point to be that's brought out by the great persons and appreciation is the Krishna consciousness. So if you have that, even if you don't have the material qualification he has, nobody minds. That's what Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that those who are honest, they'll appreciate this, because honest means connected to Krishna. Right? Because that's the real honesty. Because he's the fact. Right? The fact is everything's Krishna. So if you're trying to do it, even the skill doesn't match, Krishna accepts it. That's why for Ramachandra, then the squirrel and the Hanuman are the same. Because their full body, mind, and words are committed. So if the scope of the body, mind, and words is small, you give that, that's done. That's why in self-realization, then the importance is understanding is the soul to function in that. But it's also important to know what kind of body, what kind of mind, and what kind of intelligence you have. And so it's fully engaged. So if it's fully engaged, even if it's not on a platform of others, Krishna's happy. And the saintly persons are happy. So then no need to become so self-conscious in that. Other than that, if you thought you were the most fabulous person in the world, so then it's a good kind of thing to put things in perspective as an opening. But after that, no, it's that this means this perfection can be attained by anybody. This skill, it's according to how the Lord reveals and who he has to what, because that's up to him. So you don't have to worry. Everybody, in other words, everybody can attain the perfection of King Gaya. That's why it's here. Okay, so we'll end here for Darshan. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, and the time go with the Premanand.
I don't know.